Go to your Bibles if you're able, and just remain seated this morning. We do have you stand, but I want to read a little bit, talking about the family today. And so, look at Genesis, first book in the Bible. We're going to be in chapter 2, but I'll probably start out in chapter 1 here. Can I tell you, when God created everything, he saw that it was good. There's nothing that God did not create. Everything that we have is because of God, right? He created it all. And it was all good. And so he doesn't make junk. You say, I don't know why God put me here. Well, God knows. Amen. Come on in, brother. Good to see you. Are you in Genesis chapter 1? Look at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image. We believe in a tri-holy God. We believe in the Trinity, don't we? And you see the Trinity right here. There's a Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let us make man in our image, and what? After our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle. Dominion. Men's fire to dominate. You're going to dominate that roast beef tomorrow. You're going to have dominion over that cow and pork chop, whatever it is. So he goes on to say in verse 27 of chapter 1, so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. There's just two, amen. Now they asked a Supreme Court justice, we were talking about this yesterday, what is the definition of a female? She could not say. I don't think she should be on the Supreme Court, amen, if she doesn't know what a female is. And, you know, I've never in my lifetime, Miss Joy, saw a man have a baby. Now, there's some freaks out there, you know, and things like that. But as far as there is just male and female. Two genders, okay? And I was even talking to one of the ladies of our church yesterday, and I said, well, there's some that might be born with this and born with that, and yet I've never seen it. I've never heard of it. God knew what he was doing, didn't he? God makes no mistakes, male and female. But she didn't want to say it because that put her, well, what about this gender-neutral stuff and all of that? She didn't want to say it. Because she wanted to be in the Supreme Court. Didn't want to offend anyone. Well, God just said it like it is. He created male and female, and he created he them. He saw, verse 31 of chapter 1, everything that he made, and behold, it was what? Very good. Now, in chapter 2, we see that man's made out of dirt. I said man's made out of dirt, and a woman's made out of prime rib. And here, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust, chapter 2, verse 7, of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a what? Living soul. Now, if you pick it up, verse 15, we're talking about the home. And the Lord God took the man, put him in the garden of Eden to dress it, and to keep it. So God wants us to keep things, be good stewards. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. That's what God said. I will make him a what? A helpmeet for him. And my wife says he needs a lot of help. What's that mean? A completer. The wife is a completer. Thank God for those of you that have a wife, and thank God for our wives. Amen. Where would we be? It's not good for man to be alone. And out of the ground, the Lord, verse 19, formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Verse 20, and Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. God knew we needed a helpmeet. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and cleave, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, when God took that rib and made woman, he replaced it. Because I asked this question to myself, well, does a woman have one less rib than a man? She does not. There's the same, okay? There's 24 ribs in a man, 24 ribs in a woman. Now, a hog, I think, has 15 or 16, depending on type hog. Some of you are very familiar with half racks and whole racks and such as that. But I know that man and woman have the same amount of ribs, because one day I thought, well, I guess woman has one less ribs. Well, a nurse came up to me, not this nurse right here, okay, not that nurse over there. We have several nurses. But she says, I'll have you know, a woman does not have less ribs than a man. And she was just fluttering and like a peacock, you know. I'm sorry, ma'am. I just thought it made sense. God took one. He left one out, you know. But anyway, that didn't go over too good. But some of you might remember that. But let me tell you about the family a little bit here. God established the home. We know that. God established the church. These two institutions should be very special and sacred to us all. Contrary to what people think, they should be complementary, the home and the church. They should be. The strongest homes are built around the church, and the strongest church is made up of families. Can I tell you this? The devil hates both, but God is greater. Amen. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. We live in an age where marriages are on the rocks. Can I get a witness right there? Marriages, the devil's fighting them. Finances, communication, physical relationships, in-laws and outlaws. I mean, just goes on and on. And we're not ignorant to Satan's devices, but he is trying to destroy your home. And we need a lot of prayer. We need to pray without ceasing. But let me ask you this right now. If God specifically is trying to destroy your home as we speak, what are you doing about it? Oh, you're in church today, and I praise the Lord for that. And I applaud you. I thank God that you're in church under the word of the Lord. Because this book will not return void. Amen. And so that's good. Are you praying? And we'll look into some of the responsibilities of the husband and the and the wife, but we definitely, it's hard for marriages now. We live in an age where churches are departing from the Word of God. And this book is inspired. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So if you can keep your family in home, if you can keep your home in church, if you can keep your family in the Bible, in the Word of God, then that's really going to go a long way. And I know the devil fights that. But God honors it. The first home, Genesis 2:18. And I'll just refresh your memory. You can help me out in Sunday school, teaching and preaching. Genesis 2:18 says, it's not good for man to be what? Alone. We just read that. It's not good. And how was the woman made? Tell me again how the woman was made. Right? God put him to sleep. God did that. What is the woman to be for the man? A helpmeet. Good. A completer. This means she complements her husband. In marriage, what do couples become? I don't think I read this, but they become something when they get married. What is it? One? That's correct. One flesh. Okay, the permanency of marriage. Go to Matthew 19. Matthew 19, 4 and 6, 4 through 6. The best person you can be married to is the one you're married to right now. What does God say the qualifications for a pastor is? The husband of what? There you go. There you go. One wife. One's enough. Amen. And my wife would say one husband's enough. She would. Matthew 19, 4 through 6, are you there? That's what the Lord said, and he answered and said unto them, talking about these Pharisees, they came unto him in verse 3, tempting him. I'll just read verse 3. And saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be what? Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. I started in my own devotion, my own personal devotion, Ruth, the book of Ruth today. I love the book of Ruth. And it's so precious. There's a lady named Naomi, you remember that? And she had two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, I believe were their names. And they had wives, and one was Ruth, and the other one was it Orpah? And, of course, Naomi's husband died. And her two sons died. And it was just Naomi and the two daughter-in-laws, and Naomi felt so bad, you know, and for Ruth and Orpah, she said, well, I'm too old to have another two sons. That's not going to happen, you know. And so why don't you go on back to your people? And they were Moabites. They weren't the good crowd. And they worshiped the false gods with the little g. And you mean, remember Orpah? She kissed Naomi, and she went back to where the Moabites and amongst their little gods. But what did Ruth say? She said this famous saying that every time a pastor does a wedding, entreat me not to leave thee. In other words, men, don't leave your wife. I mean, Women, stick it out. Get God's help. Now, for all of you that have made mistakes in your past, and listen, if you've asked God to forgive you and you've repented, I'm not trying to drudge up past hurts or anything. Go forward from where you're at and do right. Amen? I'm not trying to hurt you in any way. But if you're here and you're married and your marriage is on the rocks, you stick with it, okay? And if you're divorced or whatever, and that's out of your control, it's under the blood, you've asked God to forgive you, then guess what? God did forgive you. And He cares and He loves you where you're at. There's hope. There is hope. What? Hey, let me tell you this. Jesus never left you nor forsakes you. He's sticketh closer than a brother. And I'm thankful that we have that permanence with God. But maybe there's someone here that's kind of on the brink, they're on the fence, and they're saying, I just don't see this is going to work. With God, it can work. Can I get an amen right there? With God, it can. You just heard the words of Jesus. He said this, whatsoever God, whosoever, He said, where is it? Verse 6, I think. Yeah, verse 6. Wherefore they are more twain but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. You say, that's hard and it's complicated. But it's the truth. It's the truth. Husband's duty to the wife. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, please. Lee Robertson, that old saint of preacher back in Chattanooga, Tennessee, kind of like a modern-day Moses. He died when he was 100, I think, or so, and he used to always say, husbands, love your wives, love your wives, love your wives. And he was a big, tall trumpet player, white hair. He said, love them half to death, just love your wife, love them half to death, you know. He just preached it. Have you heard him say that, Joy? I can still hear him now. But Ephesians chapter 5, husband's duty to the wife in verse 25. Husbands, what? Love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. What did he do? What did he do for the church? He died for the church. He died on the cross. Jesus Christ died on a bloody cross and was nailed to a cross and was spit upon. He hung up there and went through all of that because he loves you. Husbands, love your wife. Verse 25. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Open the door for her. I remember there's a young man in our church, and I'm not going to call his name, so don't even try to guess, okay? But he lost his wife in death, and God changed him through all of that. I'm not talking about getting saved, because when you get saved, that'll change you. Can I get an amen right there? But he married again sometime later, and he was different. You know why? Because he appreciated the wife. Don't wait until you lose something. Love them while you can, amen? Love them while you have them. I'm talking to some of you husbands out there. When's the last time you gave flowers to your wife? I'm preaching myself right here. It's been a while. Well, when I was courting her, she got them every week, didn't she? You got those milkshakes, all that stuff she liked, all that jewelry and all that stuff. What about now? Hey, love your wife now. Why you can't? Me and Brother Jackson go back and forth. Well, he's got the best wife in the world. I've got the best wife in the world, you know. But if you have a wife and you're here today, listen, treat her with respect. Treat her with honor, you know. Open the door for her. Take out the garbage. Some of the men here, I know of a man here that irons his own clothes and does washing. Man, God bless him. It don't hurt to help. I said it don't hurt to help. Are y'all breathing in here? Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church. As their own bodies, verse 28. Look, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. And I know you guys like love your own bodies. Here's something else. Now, you might not want to hear it. Even though it is in the text of widows in the church in Timothy, and I realize that the context is of widows, but the Bible does say, husbands, provide for your wife. Are you breathing? He that doesn't provide is worse than an infidel. So you need to provide. And I hope I'm correct here. I think it's all right for a wife to work. It's okay for that. Look at the Proverb 31 woman. But we'll talk about her responsibility in just a moment. But provide for your wife. Ephesians 5:23. You're right there. It says, for the husband is the what? I should let Ms. Joy come up. You know, my wife said this morning, she did such a wonderful job on that ladies' meeting. You know, I'm thankful for you, sister, and because that helped our ladies. But the husband is the head. It doesn't mean he's the dictator. It means that he's in the place of leadership. It's getting quiet in here, folks. There's a word in there called submission. You know, we're to submit ourselves one to another as well, but wives submit. Husbands, love. Wives, submit. It's a high place of duty and honor. Wife, the wife's duty to her husband. She is to submit, verse 22. The Bible says, wives, submit yourselves unto your what? Your own husbands, as unto the Lord. You see, he's seeing all of that that goes on. She is to reverence her husband. 5:33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she what? Reverence her husband. A wife should never criticize her husband in the presence of others. Wives, be careful how you criticize your husband. Pray for him more. The presence of God sees. 1 Timothy 5:14, she is to guide the house. I've learned that over 43 years of being married. She likes to be in charge of that. When I go to sleep, she's in there decorating for Christmas and stuff like that. She's doing these little whatnots and all of that. And when you move into a place or you move out, move back in, let her have her say on that, because I'm telling you, they like to do that. I said, well, it looked better over here. Shut up. Just let her have her way, you know. Well, it's over there. Don't you hurt it, guy? Don't you hate it, guys, when you're moving and you move this heavy piece of furniture over that? Well, it'd look better over there, she would say, and then sometimes honey, I think it'd be better right where it's at. You know, it took a lot of effort to get it right where it's at. Won't it be all right there? No. And just let her guide, let her have her way on that. I'm trying to help you now. She is the guide of the house. It's not wrong for her to take a paying job, but listen, the priority is to be a homemaker. If it's career or job over husband and children, she should quit her job and trust the Lord. And that's what a lot of people are not doing. I think the number one problem families get into is finances. They don't live within their means. They want what mom and daddy took 40 years to get, and they want all that now. We need to live within our means. And you need to honor God with the tithe. I say you need to honor God. It's God's tithe. So why are you getting down on this, Pastor? Well, the bills are paid and God's blessing. It's not that. This is what I see as a pastor. I see young couples coming in here and they're struggling financially and they're working their fingers to the bone. But they're not honoring God first. And the husband and the wife are working and they're still not able to make the ends meet. And the reason is they're cursed with a curse. That's what the Bible says. It's God's tithe. Bring ye the tithe into the storehouse. And prove me, therewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not pour you out a blessing. Now that doesn't mean, okay, I tried tithing, and then we bought a new car, and new motorcycle, and this and that and everything. Well, listen, that's not right either. Don't blame God on those decisions. Amen. I'm trying to help you now. But a lot of times, both are working. It's not happening, and the home's falling apart. And it's time to trust the Lord and do it God's way. Now, what happens if one of the spouses is not a Christian? Go to 1 Peter 3. My goodness, our time is gone. 1 Peter 3. What do you do if, is that where I'm going? Yeah, 2 Peter. 1 Peter 3. Using this other Bible. It's the King James Bible, okay. Same King James, but it's a different, not a different version. It's a different size Bible, okay. I always tell people when you're talking about submission with a woman, we need to back up to chapter 2. I love this. I love these verses. In chapter 2 of 1 Peter, are you there? Look at verse 21. For even wherein hereinto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. If you're following the Lord, it's going to be some suffering involved. Who did no sin, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. You know what? That'll help your marriage more than anything. Just look at one another in the eye and say, I am not going to fight with you because I love you. I'm not going to fight. Takes two to fight, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, and the devil's trying to destroy your marriage. But Jesus reviled not again. Don't be pointing fingers and say, well, you. And, you know, be unselfish, be like Jesus, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to that judges, to him that judges righteously. That's what we need to do. When trouble comes in your marriage this week, say, Lord, you see it. Lord, I'm trusting you. Who his own self bare our sins, in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto the righteousness by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Likewise ye wives. Look up here. Just like Jesus did. You want a happy home? Follow in his steps. It won't be easy, but he'll help you. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection. I remember when we were in the heat of starting this church, we were meeting in a school. And we started in a daycare, and then we met in an elementary school and stayed there until this property was bought. God paid for the property, built that little building right there. God paid for it. Prayed for a year for that modular. God gave us that modular. Started building this 10 years later. Took 10 years to build this building. God paid this building off. All this property and buildings debt free. Can I tell you, God did that? To God be the glory. But when we were back there in that school, living at 5431 West Saguaro Avenue in Peoria, devil tried to destroy my home. We got into it, started pointing fingers. I was hateful, she was hateful. Devil tried to get right in the middle of it. Well, you get out the car, I'll get out the car, let's just forget it. You know why? Because the devil didn't want this church to go forward for Jesus Christ. I'm thankful, Kathy. God helped us. I'm thankful. We learned to trust the Lord. Likewise, you wives. Now, I'm trying to talk to you who have a spouse that's not saved. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. That's your manner of life. While they behold your chaste, that word means pure and holy. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. And it goes on. Verse 4, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. That which is not corruptible, even ornament of meek and quiet spirit, which in sight of God is great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husband, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Isn't that good? You want to live long and see good days, just stick right in there and live by this. Parents' duty to the children. I'm just going to take an extra 3 or 4 minutes here. The Bible says, lo, children are a heritage of the Lord in the book of Psalms. We are to train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Parents, grandparents, your job is never over till you're in heaven, right? You may even be praying in heaven. What's old? Well, I'm not old. I'm not 70 yet. I'm not old. But we don't know. It does seem like something clicks in children's brain when they hit the 40 mark. And that's been our experience. Not to say Laura took 40. Not to say that. But you say, well, I have so much trouble with my teenager. Wait till they're about 40. Keep praying in the meantime. That came from Carl Pitts, who's over 100. How old is he now? 100. How old's Carl, Sherry? 102. He said, yeah, I had 5 kids. And when they hit 40, they had a little wisdom, you know. But he keeps praying for them. So you discipline them. Teach them. Teach the children to obey without question. Why? If they run out in the street, they need to obey mom and daddy, right? Stop! Nowadays, kids just keep going, don't they? Go to Walmart and look around. They throw a tantrum fit. I say, man, if that child was mine, I'd take him out and I'd whip his britches, you know? Teach them to obey without question. Teach them to work. Teach them early to pick up their clothes and toys. Teach them regular habits like going to bed at a regular time, getting off the phone. They shouldn't have it in their room. Amen, right there. Teach them to brush their teeth and have some personal hygiene. Put some deodorant on. Can I get a witness right up in here? Teach them to be neat. Parents, guard that television carefully and controlled. Teach them to live peaceably, without fighting all the time. And have respect for others and respect for possessions of others. Teach them the right way to use money, even when they're a little kid. When they are doing chores, you can give them a little allowance. The right use of money. Tithe, give, and save. And teach them what the rod's about. Amen. Correction. But remember this. Apply it in love. Apply it in love. We're not talking about abuse here. You say, this takes a lot of effort and a lot of time. It sure does. Never spank a child when he doesn't understand what he's getting a spanking for. You should teach him. What could have this child done not to get in trouble? And then after you beat the daylights out of him, go back and love on him, amen, or her, and teach him that, you know, it's going to be all right. Mom and Daddy love you, and I'm trying to help you. Now, it comes a time where you can't do that for you parents that have grown kids. So you got to start early, don't you? Real early. Have a family altar. You know, coming up, we had it, honey, didn't we? We had it. But it seemed like, boy, the devil just fought it. It's kicking and screaming, you know. When you have a family altar, what are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about open the Word of God. Make it short. Their attention spans are really short. I heard a piece on the news the other day, Miss Joy, that young people's attention span is 15 seconds. Because they're on these hot phones and they're always scrolling and doing things. Quick internet phones. So when a pastor stands up to preach, I've got 15 seconds. And they're scrolling me up. They're done with me. That's the day and age we live at. But have a family altar. Always read the scripture. Be brief. Have a hymn or a song. Get the whole family involved. And if you miss, don't give up. Just keep at it. I gotta quit. There's more, but let's stand together.